Simen Kuf Pei Hei. Kuf Pei Hei Sif Aleph. So the halacha is here that if a woman is Bechezkas Temeya, it's usher to be with her until she says Tavalti. And you also can't be with her until it's at least conceivable that she went to the mikvah, the Ramah points out. If she says Tavalti, but it's only been 10 days, she wouldn't be believed. Now, do you actually need to say Tavalti? Or is it enough if, let's say, Shocheves Etzlo, right? She comes back from presumably going to the mikvah, and she lies down next to you. Can you assume that's the same thing as her saying Tavalti? So this is a Machlokas Achronim. The Chavos Das, quoted in Pesachei Tshuva Aleph, says no. Shocheves Etzlo is not enough. You actually have to say Tavalti. And he brings a Raya from Tosos on Yud Aleph. It seems that his Raya is that it's only because Vestos are derabanan that after Veses, Shocheves Etzlo works. But if it's an Isser Doraisa, like she actually became a Nida, then Shocheves Etzlo is insufficient. However, the Lechem V'Simla says no. Shocheves Etzlo is certainly a Raya Shetavla. Benos Yisrael are Kadoshim and Tahorim. We rely on them. And, right, obviously we're not Choshish they're going to lie, and we're not Choshish that they won't observe Taras HaMishpacha. And therefore, Shocheves Etzlo is exactly the same thing as saying Tavalti. The Badi HaShulchan writes that you should be Machmir for the Chavos Das. But even according to the Chavos Das, there's no din hagada. She doesn't have to say those words, Tavalti. We're just concerned that maybe she forgot. And therefore, it's enough if she tells you birimiza. So, for example, if she hands you something in such a way that both you and she knows and understands that means that she went to the mikvah, so that is sufficient. You don't have to actually say it. The Aruch HaShulchan, Sifkan Dalet, says, Benos Yisrael are boshos lomar Tavalti. And therefore, even remiza is enough. That's Sifala.
So, if you discuss it with her, then you can do, if she does lie down next to you, and you both.
So, yeah, that's a good question. So, it sounds like from the Aruch HaShulchan that Shocheves Etzlo is not enough of a remez. It could mean that she wants to have tashmish, or it could mean that she Tavalti and I want to have tashmish. Whereas something that is a clearer sign would be enough. It has to be unambiguous. Okay. In other words, the fact that she handed you the telephone isn't going to be a simon in and of itself, unless it's clear and understood by both parties what that means.
What do you know? What if she went out?
If you saw her in the mikvah, so then she wouldn't need to tell you. But if you saw her going to the mikvah, then you would. In the note of Yehuda's case, right? So she didn't have to say. Okay. Sif base is that Hochzuk Anida B'Shechenu Seha, like by wearing Big Day Nidas, has the same thing as allowing us to know with certainty that she became a Nida. And thus Sif Gimel deals with a very interesting question. Let's say she says, I'm Temeya, and then she says, I'm Tahora. So it depends. If she's able to give an Amasla, an explanation as to why she said she was Temeya, then she is believed. So, for example, if she said that the reason why I said Temeya was because I was too tired and worn out and I didn't want to have Tashmish, but really I'm Tahora, so then she's believed. That's a good Amasla. However, if she doesn't have a good Amasla, for example, she just says, oh, I was joking, so then she's not believed. Now, what's interesting is, why isn't saying I was joking a good amasla? Let's say she likes to joke. So it's clear it doesn't work. That's clear from the Beis Yosef and the Shach. Derech schok amarti lecha is not an amasla. Parenthetically, you have to therefore be careful not to joke about these things. Right? But why not? So is the pshat that it's just not a good amasla? In other words, a normal person would never say that I'm Temeya if she was just joking around. Or is it the pshat that be'etzem it doesn't work, because an amasla has to be mefaresh your initial statement and not contradict it. And I think if you look at the different achronim, there are some that imply each of those two plausible explanations. You could have said that a joke is an explanation of the original statement, but it not in the same way as, let's say, I was too tired. When you say I was too tired, what you're saying is, when I said I'm Tamei, what I meant was, I'm too tired to have Tashmish now. The Simla Chadasha, Os Mem, on Yoredeya Chelek Aleph Sif Yud Gimel, makes a very interesting point. He says, there it's talking about a masla for a shochet, and he said, and a masla only works if you were initially somewhat skeptical or unsure about the statement. But if when she said Tamei Ani, you were 100% certain that she was actually Tamei, then an amasla would not work afterwards. This is similar to the idea that Taz will discuss later of the refuah has to be kodim lamaka. Now, why is this? So I think the idea is the following. When a woman says Tamei or the like, she is halachically Tamei. She is full-fledged belief. It's like Edim. We would give her makos based on that statement. And therefore, a statement afterwards cannot be believed to retract. It's only when, at least initially, you were somewhat unsure that she has that nemanus. Otherwise, she doesn't have that nemanus, unless it's toch kedei dibor. She doesn't have a pesha aso a pesha hetir. She doesn't have bilus on her statement. Even toch kedei dibor, Tosus and Ksubos on Daf Chaf Beis points out you need a pesha asar. Certainly lachar kedei dibor. And therefore, an amasla only works if, at least initially, there was some degree of skepticism. It seems to me, however, that even though this might make sense, most of the poskim do not accept this lachem esimla. As you noticed going through here, going through the Nosei Kalim, you didn't see anybody imply that that's the halacha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells you in this sif, quoting the Ramban, that there's in a case where an amasla doesn't work, and that's lavsha bigdei nidus. If she wore her bigdei nidus, and then she takes them off and she says, no, I'm actually not Tamei, she is not believed. An amasla does not work here. And the Tur asks, why should this be? Why is it true that hochzaka nida is more powerful than if she said explicitly, I'm Tamei? Why should there be a difference? So the Rashba himself answers this question. The Rashba is quoted in Beis Yosef. The Torah didn't have the Tarsa Baisa Aruch, only the Tarsa Baisa Katzar. But in the Aruch, he gives an answer to this question. And his answer seems to be that it's simply not a good amasla. In other words, if she says, oh, the reason why I put on my big day nidus is because I was too tired to have Tashmish Amita, that's a lousy amasla, and that's why it's not believed. So the simple reading of this, Rashba, is that it's not an inherent problem. It's not a yesodistika. There's no yesodistika difference between saying Tamei Ani and wearing big day nidus. It just happens to be that any amasla that you give for big day nidus is a lousy amasla. But theoretically, if you did have a good amasla for big day nidus, let's say she said, I wore my big day nidus because I ran out of clean clothing, and therefore I put on my other clothing while I was doing the wash, well, maybe that would work. And the Shach says that's, in fact, the halacha. It's not that there's a fundamental difference between Big Day Nida and saying Tamei Anochi. It's just whether or not there's going to be a good amasla. However, the Maharik disagrees, and the Maharik says, no, there is no such thing as an amasla for Big Day Nidas. This is also the psak of the Tarsa Shlamim at the end of Os Vav. Now, when you look at that Marik and the Tarsa Shlamim, it still sounds like they're not saying it's a Yesodistik Adin. They're simply saying that it's not a good Amasla. No, there is no practically good Amasla for Big Day Nidus, but not fundamentally that an Amasla can't work for Big Day Nidus. However, if you look at the Taz disagrees. He seems to learn that it's a Yesodistik Achiluk. Amasla could work for Dibor and not for Mice. It's almost like Asi dibor mevatel dibor, lo asi dibor umevatel maisa. The lashon of the Shah, the lashon of the Taz, sounds that way. And the Taz, therefore, says the following. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph, Sif Yud Gimel. Tabach shasa simen birosh hakeves hashachot, shehyehe nira shehu trefa. The gama ya omer shu trefa, v'char kach amar shekashahu, v'lo amar kein ela kidei shelo yikhu oso, v'yishar lo likach mimenu basar, kevin shemasna amasta ledvarav neman. This is the view of the Rashbats, and he brings a raya from our sugya, from the Gemara Ksubos, that if she says tamani and then gives an amasla, she's believed. So again, the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is that if a shochet puts a mark on a piece of meat indicating it's a trefa, and then later on he says, you know what, it's actually kosher, and I only put the mark on there because I wanted to keep it for myself, that's a good amasla and you're believed. The Taz says that's wrong, because we paskin like this Ramban, and the Ramban says that an amasla doesn't work for a maisa. And here it's a maisa. It's not a dibor, it's a maisa. And therefore, the Taz says that this is wrong. This psak of the Rashbats is against the Ramban. His lashon is, Hare de ein machalek ela bein dibor la maisa de kolshu eno dibor ela maisa lo mehani amasla. Oh. The Bach, as well as the Nekudas HaKasef, defend the Rashbats. And they say no, that Anida, as long as she could explain why she wore her big day nidus, that would be sufficient. It's not etzem chiluk between dibor and maisa. It's just that for nida, if she said that the reason why I wore big day nida is because I was too tired, so that's silly, because nobody would ever bother with putting on big day nida if they're too tired. They would just say, I'm tamei ani. You don't have to do something big, you could do something small. So the Prima Gadim writes that you see an amasal never works for something big if you could have gotten away with something small. That's the opinion of the Shach and the Bach. And likewise, okay, another interesting point that the Taz and Arisimin quotes from the Maharal Miprag is that the Maharal Miprag says the reason why Big Day Nidus don't work is because there, since you told the whole world that you're a Nida by wearing Big Day Nidus, then you're on a masla to one person doesn't help. So the Taz says, you see from here that you need an amasla to be told to every person who saw that it was usser. That's what the Taz writes. The Taz HaShlamim disagrees, and he says, no, an amasla works even l'rabim. Then the Taz quotes a Tshuvas HaRamah. The Tshuvas HaRamah talks about a person, a woman, who miscarried several times. And she decided that this was because she had an ayin hara. So she wanted to make sure that nobody realized she was pregnant until much later, so that she wouldn't go into labor during her eighth month. So her chap to do this was by wearing her big day nidus a month or two into pregnancy, and therefore everybody would realize she's a nida. Nobody would suspect her of being due when was her, you know, until much later, and therefore she wouldn't get the sayin hara during her eighth month. So she told this to her husband, and the Ramah says it's okay, that's a good amasla, even though she wore big day nidus. So the Taz says, I don't need to know why the Rama needs to come on to the fact that it's a good amasla. Here, simply, Tepuk lay that the refuah is kodim lamaka. Since she told her husband before she put on the big day nidus that I'm going to wear big day nidus, but I'm not actually tamea, that's pashut that it works. The Nekudas HaKesef is miyashev, that the chiddush of the Rama is that even if she didn't say it, it would still work, even if she hadn't told her husband in advance. And it's about that point that we saw that the Taz disagrees, because the Taz holds that an amasla never works for big day nidus. Oh. The Rama also writes that even shocheves etzlo is enough. In other words, she said tamei ani, and the next night or later in the night she lies down next to her husband and is tovas, that's good enough. So the Shach says, of course that can't be taken literally. She has to be motzias amasla befiha. It simply means that if she lies down next to him and he asks her, are you tamei or tahora? And she says, yes, I'm tahora, and I only said tamei before because I was too tired, then the halacha is she's believed. Frek the Chavos Das, then what's the chiddush? We just said that. So the Chavos Das answers, no. The chiddush of the Rama is that you're allowed to ask her. Normally, if a woman says tamei ani, you're not allowed to ask her, oh, are you really tamei, because that might cause her to be embarrassed and deny it. But here, since shocheves etzlo, and there's reason to assume that maybe initially she was just saying it because she was too tired, then it's permissible to ask.
There are most cases was when they're in a fight, so would that make
a
meaning, yeah. Then he knows why.
Yes, but still the Shach says, even though if they're in a fight, still you have to ask, and she has to be motzias amasla befiha. The simple reading of the Ramah is like you're saying, that perhaps since it's in a fight, she doesn't actually have to be motzias amasla befiha. Right? Because it's obvious, exactly what you're saying. Once they made up, it's obvious that before when she said to me'anis, because they were in a fight. But nevertheless, the Shach says no. Avada, you have to say it. Okay. Another thing quoted here is from the Marivayel, that lo hiter ala be'amra a love mitchila margeshes ani ke'ev bifnei me'ayim v'choshesesh el shinoi v'ases. But if she actually said to me'ani, then shochaves etzlo doesn't work. It's very similar to the point of the simle chadasha, but the Ramah doesn't paskin this way. Even if she said to me'ani, she's believed afterwards. But the Shach does say that according to the Ramah, it seems like you have to be mevarer whatever you could be mevarer, though the Chavosda says the Ramah doesn't sound that way. Okay, Sif Dalet. Sif Dalet tells me that Hayam Shamei Shematahora v'Amr Lo Nitmesi. If you're having Tasha Shamitan in the middle, she says I became Anida, Upirish Miad, you're Porish, and if you were Porish immediately, meaning Porish Be'ever Chai, so then Chai of Kares. Why? Shiatiyaso hanalo kibiyaso. The act of tashmish of leaving is an act of tashmish as well, and therefore it's a chi of kari. So therefore, what should you do? No eitz tziparnei raglav ba'aretz v'shohe below disha ach yamos ha'ever uparish be'ever meis, because parish be'ever meis is not having tashmish with anida. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. The Chavos Da says a couple of chidushim here. Number one, Hu adin kshashime shamach levesta b'shogeg. In the middle of Tashmish Amita, you realize, oh no, it's my veses. He says you have to be porish be'ever meis. Chiddush number two is if in the middle of having Tashmish she doesn't say I had dam nida, but she said I have a hargasha, then you don't have to be porish be'ever meis. And about this, others like the Pardes Rimonim ask, why should that be? It's a safek d'araisa. You should have to be porish be'ever meis. And that's also lahacha mir. Is the psak of the Chacham Tzvi, the Lechem, the Simlan, the Archa Shulchan. The Pischei Tshuva Tess quotes a very interesting thing from the Chassam Sofer. Even though we say generally, we always say that there's no such thing as Kares less than 20 years old, that's only Be'onshin HaMechudashim L'Sha'a, like Onshe Dor HaMidbar, but not for other forms of Kares, but the Pischei Tshuva says most sources do not sound that way at all. The Pischei Tshuva also deals with the following question. What is the chi of tshuva for mishame shimhanida b'makom ones? This is in Pischei Tshuva Yodalet. What happens if a person ends up having tashmish amita with the nida, but it was totally ba'ones, right? Because it was shalom b'shas vesta, for example. They didn't do anything wrong by having tashmish. What kind of tshuva do you need? So this gets into a general question, which the Rishonim talk about, is there a need for tshuva if you do an Aveira, and especially an Aveira Shiesh Bo Kares, but you do it in a way which is totally ba'ones. Those of you who learned the Yevamos this year will remember that this is discussed on Tosfos Lamed Hamad Beis. Tosfos over there says that if a person did Yibum after 3 months, so even if it turns out that she was pregnant, you're not going to be chayiv a karban that way. You're not going to be chayiv a karban because it was ones. Because one can, a halachically responsible person can make the presumption that after 3 months, if she's not showing, she's not pregnant. So Toso seems to assume that if it's ones, you don't need a chatas and presumably you don't need kapara. This is also the view of the Ramban. However, other Rishonim disagree. Tosfos in Beitza Chaf Hei Amud Beis implies, he writes, Umiyu im nintzeis trefa la'acha she'achal hu nenash keshogig v'lokim ones shelo hayalo l'maher kol kach. Even if a person follows the halachic protocol, right? The halachic protocol is, for example, if somebody tells you that this is shuman and not chelev, you're allowed to rely on them. Eidach anem and bisurin. And if it turns out they lied, says Tosfos, you're chayav a karban. Likewise, Rashi, at the beginning of Perek Isha Rabbah, explains that if the Mishnah says already that if two Eidim testify that a man has died and his wife remarries, so she's chayeves achatas. Why? She should have investigated more, even though, again, she followed the halachic protocol, which allows you to believe two edim. So it would seem, though perhaps you could get out of it, but it would seem that there's a machlokes rishonim about this point. There's also a machlokes achronim, and the truth of the matter is there's really a stiran mashmoyos of a number of sugyos. The pashtos of the sugyan shvuos implies that anything be'ones doesn't need kapara. If you're mishamesh isha shelo b'shas vest, that's ones, and you don't need a kapara. However, the sugya on Yevamos and Peizayin Mabes, and the Rashi over there, sounds not that way. The sugya of Yachid Shasab Ras Beistin doesn't sound that way. The Gemara Nida that says that why would she do a bedika after Tashmish? The Gemara asks, should you do a bedika after Tashmish? And the Gemara talks to your vestis, and the Gemara asks why, and the Gemara answers L'chai v'chatas. The Gemara says, no, you shouldn't do it because libo nofo parish. But the implication is that if you did do that bedika, he would be chai v'chatas. Why? It's ones. So, if you look, there's a very important tshuva that the Pischei Tshuva sends you to. He doesn't quote it, but he sends you there. Yoredeya Simen Sadivav of the Note of Yehuda, where he basically brings down two mahalchim. One is his mahalich, and the second is the mahalich of Rav Wolf. So, Bekitzer Nimratz, the mahalich of Rav Wolf is that if it's Efshar Levarer, even though, according to the halacha, you don't have to be Mevarer, then it's shogeg and not ones. And the Gemara in Shvuos that says it's ones is talking about where she did a bedika kodem tashmish, so therefore it's ones. But in the case of non-kosher food or other cases, any time you could have checked, even though halachically you're not required to check, is not considered ones, it's considered shogeg. The Note of Yehuda disagrees. The Note of Yehuda says, no, anytime you followed the halachic process, you're ones, like the simple reading of the Gemara Shvuos and Tosos and Ramban and Lamed Hamid Beis, and it's different when it's Nisei Salpi based in or Yachid Shasab Aras based in, because there it was based off of a tos. In other words, Edim lying, and that creates a chi of carbon. I remember everybody was talking about the sugya after the Muncie scandal a number of years ago, when this fellow sold all sorts of treif meat. So did you have to do kapara? People were following what the halacha says by believing this guy. He seemed like an erlich hayid. We would say it achanam and resort. It's a very interesting topic that's discussed in our siman as well. The Note of Yehuda also says in a different tshuva, also quoted here by the Pischei Tshuva, that if a woman doesn't have a veses, and she's pirsanida during Tashmish, you would need kapara, and you would have to bring a karban. And even though we don't paskin like the Rambam that you need bedikos kodem Tashmish, since the Rambam says you could have done a bedika, that's enough to be mafkia the shame ones. We're running out of time. I'll just mention one last other interesting tidbit from the end of this simon. The Shulchan Aruch writes, what happens if you accidentally, you didn't realize this halacha, that you have to be Porsh B'Ever Meis and you're Porsh B'Ever Chai, so you have to do kapara, and the Ramah tells you exactly what type of kapara you need. You have to fast for 40 days, they don't have to be ritzufin, every day, Monday and Thursday. For example, could be that 3 days in a row is good enough, but it's better to spread them out, like tzedakah, you want to have more kapara. And one of the interesting things I'll just mention, because it relates to a halacha lemaisa that came up a couple of days ago. So it says that you shouldn't eat meat or wine the night of the fast. In other words, even though the fast is only during the day and not at night, you shouldn't eat meat the night of the fast. So the Pischei Tshuva, Yud Gimel, quotes a machlokas whether this means the night preceding the fast you shouldn't have meat or wine, or the night following the fast you shouldn't eat meat or wine. What's as far would be the night following the fast? Because fasts are tainios shel tshuvar, meant as a form of kapara, right? And just like for karbanos, for kachim, the lailas holich achar ayom, right? You could eat the meat of the karban the night following the bringing of the karban. So too, for kapara, the tainis, in a certain sense, continues into the night, and therefore you shouldn't have meat and wine that night. So you could bring a raya for those opinions in the Pesachei Tshuva that say it means after the fast and not before the fast from the Maharil that we just experienced. The Maharil says that when you have a Tisha B'Av Shenidches, like we just had, so the night following the fast, you shouldn't have meat and wine, with the exception of the wine of Havdalah. You shouldn't have meat and wine. Now, that's not because of the 9-day restrictions, because those have all ended. It's already Yud Aleph B'Av. You're allowed to do laundry that night. But it's because of this halacha that we see over here, that when it comes to Taniyos of Tshuva, then the night follows the day. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. We're going to do Simen Kuf Pei Vav next time. It's very quick. And what's after Kuf Pei Vav? Whatever is on the schedule after Kuf Pei Vav, we'll do that also next year, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, have a great Shabbos.